The following program is sponsored by Evangelical Life Ministries.
Welcome to Engaging Truth, the manifestation of God's Word in the lives of people around us. Join us each week as we explore the impact of His message of spiritual renewal. From the lesson of forgiveness forged in the crucible of divorce, to the message of salvation learned by an executioner from a condemned killer, to the gift of freedom found in the rescue of victims of human trafficking. This is God's Truth in Action.
Welcome to Engaging Truth. I'm Dave Schultz, your host for this particular program. And I have a wonderful guest who we have had on many times on an Evangelical Life Ministry programs, and that is Pastor Tim Carter. Pastor Tim Carter is no longer in the Houston area. He accepted a call to St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Columbus, Indiana. And so we speak to him today, and we see him from there. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thank you for having me, David. Looking forward to being a part of this.
We thought of taking the whole month of April, which we are concluding with a program on the resurrection, which we just did. But Tim, the program that we're going to talk about, the message of the Christ's love and forgiveness and peace and hope, really is hardly spoken of in reconciliation. But we're going to talk about that today. But just before I do that, Tim, and before I read the scriptures, you've written a book, An Executioner's Redemption. I have found that that book is wonderful to read. Hundreds of people surrounding us have read it. Tim, where is that book available today, The Executioner's Redemption?
You can get it at CPH, Concordia Publishing House, cph.com. And or you can get it from Amazon.com, but cph.org, ConcordiaPublishingHouse.org. And when you get into their website, Concordia Publishing House, you can type in the Reverend Timothy R. Carter, The Executioner's Redemption.
Thanks, Tim. Let's get back to the comment that we're going to explode today, and that is the word of reconciliation. Let me read a little section of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against Him. God's Word tells us this is not from man. Let's begin with something real simple, Tim. What does that word reconciliation mean? Give us a practical example of what it means in our language.
Reconciliation means that two parties, at least two, have been separated, and that there is a barrier between the two that prevents them from having a relationship or having peace together and being restored in friendship, relationship. And so reconciliation means that somehow, some way, those two parties that are either enemies or estranged are able to come back together and have that relationship again.
How does that relate to you and me in the world in which we live, Tim?
In any number of ways that it can be, whether it's from friends, whether it's from blood relatives, family, whether it's with God, we can be estranged from one another because of disagreements and because of just having our eyes on maybe usually what we want rather than what someone else needs. And so sacrifice is always a part of reconciliation.
Who has God reconciled, and to whom and for what?
God has reconciled us, all of the human race who comes to receive God's grace and believe in Christ. He has reconciled us to Himself through Christ, on the cross. And so that was necessary because we, through sin, we estranged ourselves from God, and we damaged and severed that relationship with God. And so God promised he would make a way for us to come back and restore that relationship. And we were divided by sin, but God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to restore that relationship, and he certainly did.
It was a relationship that was severed, like you say, because of sin. Man, who was created perfect in the garden, was separated, as was Eve, Adam's wife, was separated from God because of the sin which they had committed, a sin of pride. And the Bible tells us that God's plan to reconcile us to him was something that was made up in eternity. It was made up long before the world was ever created. So the omnipotent, omniscient God knew of the transgression that would happen and the reconciling power that would have to be made. Tim, when you think about the reconciliation that God had in eternity, how does that fit with what he has done for you and for me and all the world today?
Well, praise God that God is that big. He's that big to where he is a part of, not a part of, he is, eternity is where he is, and we so far are in this temporary earthly life. But in his knowing everything and being a part of all eternity, he did know that we, mankind, would separate ourselves from him, as you said, David, through self-centeredness and selfishness and lack of trust. We had, in the Garden of Eden, a perfect relationship with him, but we all have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan. And Satan, he lured mankind into distrust of God and alienated us from God. And we took the bait, and we began to, through Adam and Eve, we believed that God was holding out on us, and so we thought there was more than what God had for us, and so we went astray. But yes, praise God that he loves us so much that he desires that reconciliation, and he, like you said, from all eternity, he had a plan, and that plan was Christ.
Do you believe that Adam and Eve knew the moment that they had transgressed the will and the power and the love of God? Did they know that they had sinned? Did they know that they had transgressed it and that they had now separated themselves from the eternal loving God?
Yes. One of the saddest, most pitiful and sad verses in the Bible is in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis, to where it says when their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked, they covered themselves and they hid themselves. It says that the man, Adam, and his wife, Eve, heard the sound of God walking in the garden and they hid from him. And so they had never hid from God ever before. They had never had any idea about nakedness or shame, but all of a sudden, yes, David, as soon as they disobeyed God and went their own way instead of God's way, they felt naked, they felt they needed to hide from him, and they did try to hide from him. And so all that is the answer to your question. They knew immediately that that they had distrusted God and turned away from him, and that they had forgotten what God had told them, that you can have anything you want except this one thing, and if you do choose to go the opposite direction from me, then on that day you will die. And they died spiritually on that day, and they started dying physically on that day.
When Adam and Eve transgressed the will of God and did what they did, they lost the very promise of that perfect relationship with God that they had. And a relationship with God can never be had except through Christ. Isn't that true?
That is correct. And yes, they had that, and they were lured into thinking that the perfect relationship they had was not as perfect as it could be or should be. And then by temptation, they forfeited that, and they lost that. And so ever since then, as the rest of Scripture tells us, there has been a curtain. There's been a chasm between us and God that could have been and was filled only by the coming of the Messiah.
When the Messiah came, he came from the majesty of heaven, and Paul says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus is the Word made flesh among us, and the Bible tells us that Jesus was not a creation of the Father. He came through the Spirit's implantation of the seed in Mary, and Mary brought forth into the world this Jesus, who was not only God, but all of a sudden he was also man. And it seems, Tim, that it would take that miracle of God becoming man to reconcile the men and women of this world back to Jesus again.
That is exactly right, David. And mankind had only just a brief glimpse and an imagination of that remedy. They have been given the promise. The promise was given to Adam and Eve that he would send someone that would crush the head of the serpent and restore that relationship. And since then, God has been telling man that that day was coming. But our ability to comprehend that it had to be somehow, some way, the God of all eternity that had no beginning, that he would come to us as a human being is something that we human beings, mankind, was not able to comprehend. And never, even when Christ was among us, like you said in 1 John, that even though he was with us, even though he created the world and he was in the world did not know him and could not accept him. So only after Christ had paid that price, gone to the cross, risen from the grave, and sent his Holy Spirit, only then have we been enabled to at least partially and heavily wrap our mind and our brain and our soul around the fact that that is what it took, is that the sin of one man came into this world and needed to be atoned by a sinless man. That would only happen when the Messiah, Jesus, came.
When Jesus came into the world, he came into the world as a baby. He grew to a man. And in the Jordan, he was baptized by John. And at the same time, John would be saying, you should be baptizing me. I don't need to be baptizing you. And Jesus said, this is to fulfill all righteousness. Part of the plan that God had from all eternity was not just to send his son, but to complete the righteousness which the world would need. And then reconciliation, the reconciliation of man, could come or would become real to men simply by their simple confession of faith. Isn't that a wonderful plan that God has given us, Tim? And such a wonderful plan is not receivable by so many today. How do we explain that?
That's well put in your question and in your setup of that question, and that is that it's like I said, something we can even now, with the help of the Holy Spirit in us, enabling us to come to faith, receive His grace, and believe. We still struggle to understand that kind of love. Why anybody, God, would and could sacrifice everything virtually for our sake. That goes against our human nature. And so that's why Adam's human nature and all of our human nature is one of sin and skepticism and doubt and disbelief and distrust. Yet we have been believing in and following and enabled to know through Christ, the only one that ever was sinless. And so like you said, David, Jesus is the way, but He also showed us the way by coming, like you said, as a human being born of a virgin, raised up and grew as a man, a sinless man, and showed us the way. So when we follow Christ, when we believe in Him and when we follow Him, we follow the way that He walked. And so we have Him, and we also have His Word, and we have His life.
Tim, let's take your life and my life and how they differ, not because as pastors they differ, but I was raised in a home of a pastor where never as a child was anything ever questioned about the reconciliation, the message of the gospel. But in your life, you came from a different world. You came from a world where strength and might and reason and everything else was the answer. But all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, God touched Tim Carter with this message of saving grace and the fact that you could be reconciled to a God from whom you had been separated from the time of your birth. Can you explain that?
That is the only reason why the second coming of Christ has not happened yet, because there are a lot of people out there like me that have trusted only in themselves and not trusted in Christ. And so, yes, it is something that we are actually incapable of doing. We have to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to receive God's grace and come to faith. And so we are all given the opportunity, but God knocks at our heart's door over and over and over again. And I had that knock on my door, but at one point, God enabled my that shell, that hard shell around my heart, to be penetrated by the gospel. And then and only then did all of a sudden, as in this world we would say, the light went on. The light did go on, and it appeared in me. And suddenly all of my stubbornness and self-sufficiency and running from Christ miraculously came to an end, and I believed for the first time. And yes, my life has been on trajectory ever since, of following Christ and knowing Him and getting closer to Him ever since. So yeah, unfortunately, I can relate to all those out there who are either did run for most of their life, or they're still running from God. They're running from that reconciliation.
Isn't that wonderful that Paul says, God has reconciled us to Him in Christ and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now now that ministry, that reconciliation message, is given a ministry, and that ministry is given to you and to me and to all of us who know that message. Would you talk a little bit about that ministry, Tim?
Good point there. And actually, I'm going to, as we're going to read a little bit of the answer to your question, and that is out of, let me see here, out of Luke chapter 4, 21, Jesus says here, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives and the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, and release of the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is Christ's ministry. And when you and I follow him, David, that becomes our ministry. And so we start beginning to have the type of love that he had. And we want to be a part of the mission of Christ, that he, when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointed me to share that good news." You and I, when we receive God's grace and when we realize where we were, lost, separated, not reconciled, headed for eternal destruction, when we realize that we have been saved and redeemed and that we belong to him, then we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, upon us, and then we want to also share that good news. And so that's the answer to your question about the ministry. We want to be a part of that. And so I had my recovery of sight recovered, because I was blind spiritually and in many other ways. And so I was oppressed because I was believing a lie. And so he released me, the prisoner of those lies. And so now, for you and I, David, it becomes our passion. Our passion in following Christ is to help others to escape the condition we were in of running away from reconciliation with Christ.
I keep thinking of Peter and John saying in prison, when told not to preach that message anymore, they said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen." The Lord isn't going to stop Pastor Tim and me and all of us pastors from proclaiming the message of grace, peace, and love, and that we have been reconciled from who we were because of Christ's death and resurrection. We are now reconciled to who God has made us to be. Tim, I just want to say thank you. You're always a joy to be with, brother. And I know this for sure, that I don't know when our ministries will end, but I just pray that we will have the ministry of reconciliation always on our mind, no matter who we meet or when we meet and where we meet. Tim, would you take this last 30, 40 seconds to end us in prayer? And thank you, brother, for being willing to speak about the reconciliation of Christ.
You bet, brother. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together with you. Father, thank you for everything we've been talking about, that you so loved us, all of us, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes will not die, will not perish, but will be reconciled to you and have everlasting life. Praise you, Father, for that kind of love. And so, Father, for this message that we've been sharing and talking about, thank you that you are speaking through us to listeners, telling them that you came into this world for each and every person that's listening to this broadcast right now. You came for us, all of us. Thank you, Lord. We accept and receive your grace, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, for being with us again this evening, and come back to us again next Sunday night. Lord be with you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of Engaging Truth. Be sure to join us each week at this time. To help support our ministry, contact Evangelical Life Ministries, Post Office Box 568, Cypress, Texas 77410, or visit our website at elmhouston.org, or find us on Facebook at Evangelical Life Ministries. Thank you.